Hebrews chapter 2, we're going to pick it up with verse 9, concerning our Savior. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should face death for every man. That includes you. He did this because he was perfect. And his motive, we'll find out in a moment, why he would do this, and why he would do it for you, and he whosoever would believe. And for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He did that suffering, and he didn't whimper. Because he loves you. Our Father loves you very much. And he did not complain to pay the ultimate price to accomplish a goal. We'll find out what that is, as well as many other things. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one family, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You know, there he is, Emmanuel, God with us. And he doesn't mind calling you a brother or a sister. Why? Again, it's real simple. Because he loves you. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, the congregation, will I sing praise unto thee. That's a quote from Psalms 22:22. That's his words on the cross as he paid the ultimate price. And he stated that. He said, I want this to be taught in the whole congregation so they won't forget, so they will remember. Verse 13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. Here comes the reason, don't ever forget it. 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he also, Emmanuel, God with us, he also himself likewise took part in the same. But that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He did this so he could destroy the devil, get him off all the backs. Give him a run to see how many of you are going to follow him. I know none of you are. And you're going to stand against him. But he did this. You see, because it would be Satan's own kinites that would be in that congregation at the trial saying, crucify him. And so, in turn, they signed their own warrant for Satan himself, because he will be blotted out. He will be destroyed. And our Father has no problem in doing that, because he tried to destroy God, Emmanuel, God with us. So, if anyone ever asks you, why would Christ pay that price on the cross? That's your answer. So he can destroy death, which is to say the devil, and do it fairly, honestly. He's got it coming to him. Let him have it. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. To bondage, sin can put you in bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. In other words, he asked you to be born in the flesh, which, you know, flesh can be painful. living in these flesh bodies, you're exposed to many things. He could have come as an angel. He could have come as himself. But he chose rather to show you his love for you. He came in the flesh also to show you how to get it done. Verse 17, wherefore in all things in him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, not his sins. He didn't have any. He did this for your sin, so that on repentance, they could be erased. And in the book of life, your very name is clear, marked, paid in full. Don't ever forget who paid it for you. He did, and he did it on that cross. Verse 18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that be tempted. In other words, that secure is the legal term, meaning he can guarantee it. All you have to do is believe. You know, when you take a creator of all things, and then he created children for his pleasure. Documentation, Revelation chapter 4, the last verse. He created all things for his pleasure. Because he loves his children, he saw fit, even though he was the creator, to come in the same body as you were in, the flesh body, and paid that price, showing us how to get it done. That should encourage you in these end times to know if he loved you that much, there is no way that any entity is going to draw you away from the Word of God. That Word that sustains you. That Word that lifts you. That Word that secures your eternal lifetime. Whereby, what a beautiful place this earth is when it ends. When it goes back into the proper pole that it's supposed to. Now it's 90 degrees off, 90 miles off. To do away with things that have been. And at one time, buttercups grew in Alaska, the tundra. Because it was beautiful up there. Why? Because the earth hadn't fallen yet. Satan hadn't fallen. You can look forward to that. He secured it for you with his blood. Turn on to chapter 10 of the same book. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's pick it up with verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It just doesn't get it done. Where a priest or took the sacrifice. Yeah, it cost people a little money for taking the prize out of their herd and donating it. But the blood wasn't there that Christ had when he accomplished that sacrifice. Fine. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared to me. And so it was. He saw fit to come in, born of woman, flesh body, seed of Abraham, to pay this price for you. Verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, that is, thou hast no pleasure. And as God says in the minds of prophets in Hosea 6:6, I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your love. That's what he wants from you. That's what sacrificial loving will be name is your love for him, whereby he is honored and glorified as our Father. Then said I, Christ speaking, Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And so it is that even in Genesis chapter 1, where the word and, which is a polysyntheme, which means much more, is meant than is written, was the Holy Spirit moving upon all things. And then in chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, where he talked about the Kenite himself, the offspring of the serpent, that one, he would bruise the heels of Christ and nail them to the cross. But in turn, Christ would bruise his head. He's going to get his gourd smashed. And Christ is doing that. Why? Because he loves you. You would see that most people really, that one fact, they have trouble knowing. He's got time for you. He loves you. You've heard me say that your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. There's nobody else like you. Why did he create somebody unique like yourself? Because he loves you. Because he wants you to return that love, to love him. That's why he didn't even consider paying that awesome price on the cross, that you could have that love freely and secure your eternal life, because he loves you. He comes in the volume of the book from beginning to end. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He took away the old law of blood ritual. Understand, he didn't destroy the law. He destroyed blood rituals. There's a difference. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It doesn't have to be done every year in the Holy of Holies. But that one time, Christ's body was sufficient, that it paid the price forever. And in so doing, the same altar that the sacrifice was offered upon, he rent that veil from top to bottom. He said, you come on in. You don't have to be a high priest. He said, you're one of my children. I love you. You come on in. You talk to me. You don't need some preacher or some priest or somebody else in front of you to speak for you. You talk to me. You hear my love for you, he says. And come in, be at home. It's paid for. It was paid for by his blood. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering all the time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. They can. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, right on the throne. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. I don't have to tell you who's going to put that enemy under his footstool. It's got to be added with the Holy Spirit speaking through the 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Not just for a little while. Not just a passing thing. But forever. It's secured. It's guaranteed. In conclusion, let's turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53 tells of his experience at the cross and kind of what was going through his mind and what should be going through yours. And let's pick it up with Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who has believed our report? Not too many do. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For by it's opened, and you can see the strength, the power of that arm of God that caresses you. Verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Many people get confused with this verse because they don't understand the Hebrew of the word form and comeliness. Form means he has no appearance of pride. You understand that? He has no appearance of pride, the pride that took Satan down. Christ was a very humble being, and he never showed pride. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty. Why? He got it all. If nothing else, what he did for us makes him beautiful, regardless of what his appearance would be. That he died for you, that your sins could be washed away. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. They all ran. All but a few women over on the hill there. They ran. Not going to happen again. When we have to make that stand before the false one, we're going to stand because he is with us. He has guaranteed it. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. And you can just erase it. We will never abandon him, and he will never, ever abandon you. I will never leave thee, and I will never forsake thee. That is his word. But boy, did they forsake him that night. Verse 4, surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. It wasn't easy, but he did it through love so that you could have that forgiveness. When you mess up and when you have shortcomings, you tell him how much you love him. Ask his forgiveness. It's erased. He guarantees it. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, not his. He was bruised for our iniquities, not his. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So he took the punishment. But when you pray to him for a touch, it's what Holy Communion is. It's an anointing of the very soul of taking Christ into yourself and you and him, that you receive healings and blessings. And even in proxy, you can do it for other people that you may think would never even have a thought, and yet, bang! Can change minds and hearts. It's nothing to him. Love is a beautiful thing. He received the stripes. We get the healing. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Again, it's disgraceful that it happened. Really, it is. But we're not going to let that happen again, beloved. You can swear it to yourself all day long. It's not going to happen again. We're not going to forsake him. Though governments may say, take God's name out of it, guess what? That government will vote out of office. We will not run. We will stand firm. And we will declare His name, His precious name, unashamedly. Verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He opened not His mouth. Even Pilate said to Him, "Man, don't you realize they want to kill you?" And I know Pilate knew he was innocent. Talk to me. Tell me. I have the power to either let him do it or take it away. Talk to me. But it was time in God's plan for the price to be paid. And He was paying. He would not open His mouth. He did not wimp off. He did not say, "Let's put this off." He did it for you. Do I have to say why again? Because He loves you. You know, I know He doesn't love some of the things we do sometimes. But boy, does He love you. And on repentance, it's so easy. With the price having been paid to erase that slate clean, where you have a new start in life with His blessings. And so it is. He did not open His mouth. Verse 8, He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare His generation? We will. It's the generation of the fig tree. For He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was He stricken. Verse 9, and He made His grave with the wicked. Two malefactors hanging on each side of Him. Do you think that bothered Him? No, He converted one of them. One of them, because of his humble actions, believed upon Him. And Christ told him in one place, "This day I will see thee in paradise." And so he did. That's how easy it is, even as Christ was paying the price with His blood on the cross. He forgave that one. He will also forgive you, and with the rich in debt, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was buried in a rich man's tomb because he had no sin. And that rich man, of course, was Mary's uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, the tin man, which Christ spent in his younger years, many according to history, a lot of days with him, with Joseph of Arimathea. It is history, and how precious it is. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge, this is important, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That is the knowledge you want to search for. That is the knowledge of Christ. What again was his name? The Word of God. From that Word, you want to bring that knowledge in that guarantees you eternal life. Not a pit, not a fire, and not being blotted out, but having a wonderful spiritual body that never knows any pain or boredom for an eternity. Yours for the asking and yours for the repenting. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, that's yours too, and made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession for you. An intercession that means he took your place. He didn't open his mouth, he didn't look. And how precious it is. What greater love could man have than to lay his life down for his family? And so it is that he accomplished that. He paid that price on the cross. And he paid it willingly. Why? As an intercessor for you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, Father, for your salvation. Thank you, Father, for the right to repent of sins and to be blessed. And we as a congregation at this time that we're about to partake of the Lord's table do all repent and ask your wonderful forgiveness as we partake of this precious communion, Father. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen, amen. Okay, will the ushers come forward at this time, please?